Good morning, and welcome to our worship service this morning. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. Dear Heavenly Father, fill our hearts with the light of your word. Lead us to confess our sins and to rejoice in your promise of salvation. Move us to love as we have been loved and to live as you would have us live to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for this morning is hymn 392. Please rise. I invite you to follow our order of service that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin our worship service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore, you are feared. Since we are gathered to hear God's word, to call upon him in prayer and praise, and to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our own unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Let us therefore confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus, he gives the power to become the children of God, and God gives them his Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We pray. Almighty God, by the working of your Holy Spirit, grant that we may gladly hear your word proclaimed among us and follow its directing. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Our first reading for this morning is taken from Paul's letter to the Romans. We'll read from chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. These verses come immediately before our sermon text. And one of the key words Paul speaks about in this text is the word peace. We are about to celebrate the 4th of July, and one of the blessings we have in our country is we've had long stretches of peace in our country, at least physically. The peace that God gives us through Christ is an even greater peace. Peace with God through the forgiveness of sins, a clear washed clean conscience, our souls washed clean with the blood of Christ. We read from Romans 5, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Our responsive psalm for the day is Psalm 100, printed in the middle of page 4. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Come into his presence with singing.
Know that the Lord, he is God.
It is he who made us, and we are his.
We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving.
And his courts with praise.
Give thanks to him. Bless his name.
For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations.
Our second reading is from Matthew chapter 9. We'll read verses 35 through 39. Glory to you, O Lord. In these verses, we see Jesus' compassionate love. He not only preaches the gospel, shares with the people the forgiveness of sins through him, but he also takes care of their physical needs, healing them, having compassion on all of their needs. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest."
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Please rise. Let's join in confessing our faith in the one true triune God with the words of the Nicene Creed on the bottom of page 5. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, hymn 571.
Thank you.
eyes. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has set us free in the greatest way by freeing us from our sins, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is again taken from Romans chapter 5. This time we'll read verses 6 through 11. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we now have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Of all the things about God that are impossible for our limited minds to understand, of all the things about God that are incomprehensible or just plain unfathomable, what would you say is the one thing about God that is the most unfathomable or most incomprehensible of all? If we think about it, maybe we think first of his wisdom. It's kind of hard to wrap your minds around someone knowing literally everything. The Bible describes God's wisdom actually as being unfathomable, something that's past our understanding, past what we can trace or track. Paul says that in the same book of Romans, where our sermon text is from today. Maybe one of the things you think of as being the most incomprehensible or unfathomable is his power. It's hard to wrap your mind around someone who is all-powerful, almighty, a being who simply says, "Let there be," and it comes into being. It appears. God's power is limitless. There is nothing that is too hard for him to accomplish. Maybe it's his eternal nature. Maybe what's incomprehensible to you is the fact that God has no beginning. He's always existed, never had a start, and also has no end. He always will be. That is unfathomable, isn't it? It makes your mind hurt just thinking about it. Or maybe it's the fact that his nature is described by himself in the Bible as being the Trinity. We talked about this a couple weeks ago in our sermon. Three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but very much, truly, only one God. How can you possibly fully comprehend that? The fact is, you can't. Now, those would all be good choices. God's wisdom, his power, his eternal nature, the fact that he is a Trinity. Those would all be good choices for things that are completely incomprehensible about God. But I'll submit to you today the thing that I think is the most incomprehensible, the most unfathomable aspect of God, the most mind-blowing attribute of him. And that is his love. In fact, I would go as far as to say that after reading the verses of our sermon text from Romans chapter 5, how could you not say that God's love is the most unfathomable thing about God? Let's think about what Paul is saying about God and his love for us in our text. He's essentially saying this: we might be good enough and noble enough to give up our lives for someone that we consider to be good, someone who we love or care about. We would probably give up our lives for someone that we cherished and loved dearly, maybe our spouse, our children, a cherished friend or family member, someone who is very close and dear to us. Maybe we would give up our lives for them. But how many of us would give up our lives for people who hate us? People who are our enemies. People who irritate you. People who just disgust you. Maybe you just don't want to be around them. People who have it in for you, just for no apparent reason. They just have a problem with you. Would you give up your life for someone who's hurt you? For people who have said and done terrible things to you or to your family and loved ones? Would you be willing to die for them? And let's go even a step further, because that's exactly what God did. God didn't just give up his life for them. He gave up the life of his only child for them. Would you be willing to give up the life of your only child for your hated, sworn enemy? Someone who despised you, someone who wronged you and mistreated your family? The answer is absolutely no. Of course not. We never think about giving anyone up that we love, never give up a family member or a child for anyone, much less someone who is our enemy. That thought is so ridiculous and so out of this world that it's not even worth considering. It's actually offensive. No one is going to give up the life of themselves or their child for their enemy or someone who hates us, has abused us, and mistreated us. And yet the unimaginable, unfathomable love of God is just that kind of love. He showed that kind of love in sending Jesus. And he did it to even a greater degree. Listen again to what Paul writes in our text. Listen carefully to the words that he uses here. He says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." He goes on to say, "When we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son." Did you catch the word that Paul uses to describe our natural condition? He says we were powerless. Not weak, not sick, not trying real hard, not needing just a little bit of Jesus to accomplish the one or two things that we couldn't accomplish ourselves. No, he says we were powerless. Paul also describes us as being ungodly and sinners. We were born into this world with our sins covering our souls, staining them. We aren't born good. Despite what we want to say or believe, or what other people want to say or believe, we are not born good. We are born, in fact, ungodly. If you look that word up in the Greek, it sounds even worse. You looked it up in the Greek, and it's a word that means godless or wicked. To live without regard for religious belief or practice. That is the spiritual state, the Bible says, we are born in. And yet Jesus did not wait until we were not ungodly. He didn't wait until we were good enough. He didn't wait until we had our act together enough. No, our text says that Jesus died for the ungodly. It says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That is extremely good news, and it's actually mind-blowing that he did that. Why is it such good news? Well, have you ever felt ungodly? Have you ever felt like a sinner? I don't mean like, oh yeah, I'm a sinner, I've got to confess that I'm in church today. No, I mean like a real sinner. Felt so shocked and appalled by what you'd done, by what you'd said or thought, that you are certain, you're positive, there is no way I could still be a child of God. There's no way that God could still love me after what I've done or repeatedly done. Again, what does our text say? Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for sinners. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If you know you've been ungodly, you know you've been a sinner, here's the good news. That means Christ died for you. He died for me. Ungodly sinners are the very people for whom Christ came to die. That is how much God loves you. As if he's piling on, Paul even says more. He says that by nature, we aren't just ungodly sinners. We were enemies of God. God is holy, and he hates sin. We are born with sin. Therefore, our sins separate us from God. Our sins are what made us his enemies. And yet again, we read in our text that we were reconciled. That, in the Greek, is a very beautiful word. It's a word that literally means we were made friends with God through the death of his Son. Jesus' death on the cross took away all of the sin that separated us from God and turned us from being God's enemies into his friends. That is how much God loves you. So what does that unimaginable, unfathomable love from God mean to us now? What does it mean for everyday lives as Christians? Well, it means, first of all, what our scripture reading said from the very first verse of this chapter. It means that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It means that we can live without fear. Live without fear of God's wrath and punishment. We can live without fear of our eternal future. We don't have to go around wondering, what's going to happen to me when I die? Am I going to be saved? Will I be condemned? Jesus' death and resurrection put all those fears and all those doubts to rest for good. If Christ did this for us, gave up his life through the agonizing death and the hell that he took for us on that cross while we were still sinners, then what fear do we have in this life now that we're his children, his brothers and sisters? What fear do we need to have for the next life? If Jesus loved us enough to die for us ungodly sinners, should we worry about whether he's going to take care of our clothing needs, to give us food and shelter, take care of us, all of our earthly needs? If Jesus loves us enough to sacrifice himself for us while we were enemies of God, should we worry if he's going to get us through our financial troubles and difficulties? Should we worry if he's going to get us through our family problems, our marital struggles, our relationship difficulties, or maybe this health crisis that we've been facing? And the answer is, of course not. Paul put it this way in a few chapters later in Romans, a passage that's likely very familiar to you. Romans 8:32, he says, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" He will. He gave us Jesus, the greatest gift. He will take care of all of our other needs as well. Paul says in the last verse of our text, that even in the midst of the trials and difficulties of our lives, we can rejoice. We can rejoice because of God's great love for us in Christ. Verse 11 says this, "Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." What would you do for someone who loves you that much? What would you give? What would you do for someone who is willing to sacrifice himself to take your hell so that you could have his heaven? To take on your sins so that you could have his salvation? What would you do to thank someone who loves you that much? Maybe a better question is this: what wouldn't you do for someone who loves you that much? Do you feel ungodly? Do you feel unloved? Do you feel unworthy of love because of our sins, past or present? We have to admit at times it's hard not to think that way. Those thoughts can creep into our hearts and our minds, sometimes daily, because we know the reality of our sins. We confess them again today because we know we have sinned. Let's also remember the reality of God's love. It is unfathomable. It is unimaginable. It is unconditional and unmistakably for you. And it's for me. Jesus proved it by the cross. Jesus stretched out his arms on the cross and declared to you and me and to the world once and for all, "This is how much I love you." But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That is how much God loves you. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Amen.
You may be seated. An offering from our thankful hearts will now be received. Please rise.
We bring special prayers before our Father's throne this morning for Debbie Udy's family. Debbie is my aunt and also my godmother. She passed away this last week from a prolonged neurological illness. Her husband, John, my uncle, is one of our professors at Emmanuel and Eau Claire. Her memorial service will be held this afternoon. We bring those prayers before our Father's throne. Are there any other prayer requests this morning? We'll also be saying a prayer for our country as we approach the 4th of July, and we will conclude our prayer then with the singing of the hymn you see printed on the bottom of page 7, and I'll announce when we'll sing that hymn. Let's join our hearts together in prayer.
Dear Jesus, we thank you for the reminders from your word of your grace and your unimaginable love for us. We thank you that while we were still sinners, you died for us, and you gave us the forgiveness of sins and the assurance of heaven. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for the life that you gave to Debbie Udy, for her peaceful and blessed end, and for taking her to her eternal heavenly home with you. We ask you, Lord, to continue to give comfort and strength to her husband John and to her family and friends as they grieve her loss. May their tears not be tears of despair, the tears of hope, knowing that one day we will see Debbie again on heaven's shores, where all tears will be dried forever. Give them your peace, the peace that transcends our understanding, knowing that your gracious, loving will has carried this out for their good and for the eternal bliss of Debbie. Give this comfort and peace to all of us who knew and loved her and who are grieved by her passing from this life. We also thank you, dear Savior, for the tremendous outpouring and expressions of love and care and support that many have given to the Udy family. Help us to continue to lift them up in our prayers and look for ways to help and serve them whenever we can. And give a special measure of strength in your spirit to John, who continues to teach at our school in Eau Claire. And finally, Lord, we ask for your protection and care over those who are traveling to and from her memorial service today. And bless the word that is spoken there, that many on that day, today, will be turned, will turn their hearts to their Savior for forgiveness, comfort, peace, hope,
and true eternal joy. Dear Jesus, as the citizens of the United States pause to commemorate its anniversary this week, we think of the many blessings you have made a reality for us. We ask you, Lord, to forgive our many complaints and our negligence in asking your blessings upon our nation and upon our government. Continue to allow us peace and bless the honest endeavors of our citizens. Do not let our wonderful freedoms be abused or removed. Let justice and right prevail. Place loyalty in the hearts of our citizens so that they all may take an active role to do away with wrong and foster what is right. Above all, preserve our freedom to call upon you and to praise you and worship you. Bless our land, gracious Father, and we conclude our prayer for our country with a hymn of praise and prayer to you.
God bless our native land, firm may she ever stand through storm and night. When the wild tempests rave, ruler of wind and wave, do thou our country save by thy great might. So shall our prayers arise to God above the skies, on him we wait. Thou who art ever nigh, guarding with watchful eye, to thee aloud we cry, God save the state.
We ask these things in your name, dear Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, hymn 686.
Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing call for songs of loudest praise. While the hope of endless glory fills my heart with joy and love, teach me ever to adore thee. May I still thy goodness prove. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me stranger, bring from the fold of God, he to rescue from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let that grace now like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy above. Oh, that day when, freed from sinning, I shall see thy lovely face. grace, clothed in the blood-washed linen, how I'll sing thy wondrous grace. Come, my Lord, no longer tarry, take my ransomed soul away. Send thine angel soon to carry me to realms of endless day.
Please rise. We continue on the top of page 8 with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly fitting, right, and spiritually beneficial that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. We praise you especially for the glorious resurrection of your Son, the true Passover Lamb, who by his sacrifice took away the sins of the world, and by his resurrection restored everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Give you thanks, O Lord our God, for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ and his cross. Give us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. In his name we pray, as we now join in the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We'll continue with the words of institution. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of our Lord be with you always. Amen. Body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Now may this, the true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Please rise. Let's join in singing the Nunc Dimittis on the top of page 11.
Lord, now let your servant depart in heavenly peace. For I have seen the glory of your redeeming grace, a light to lead the Gentiles unto your holy hill. The glory of your people, your chosen Israel. All glory to the Father, all glory to the Son, all glory to the Spirit, forever three in one. For as in the beginning, is now, shall ever be, God's triune name resounding through all eternity.
Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Our closing hymn for this morning is hymn 744. Please be seated. Good morning. A warm welcome to all of you, and I wish the Lord's blessings upon you, and hope you've been blessed through the message you've heard this morning. A few announcements for today and for this week. After the service, we'll be having a VBS / TVBS meeting to get some organizational things ready and planned out for our Vacation Bible School at the end of this month. It will be the 24th through 28th. If you know of people who would like to come to the VBS, please let me know, or they can sign up online or take one of the flyers and registration sheets from the entryway of the church. This week, Tuesday, is, of course, Independence Day, 4th of July. Wednesday, our Stockton area worship service got rescheduled again last week, so we'll be having it this Wednesday at 2 p.m. We'll meet in the Cameron's home in Rio Vista. Friday and Saturday, we'll be in Southern California doing visits and a worship service there. And the worship service will take place on Saturday at 2 p.m. Next Sunday, we'll have our normal schedule, Bible class at 8:45, worship service at 10 a.m. And a reminder that at the end of the week of our Vacation Bible School, at the end of the month, we'll be having our church picnic, and that worship service will be a joint service between both of our parishes, both East Bay and us here in Mountain View, and it will be held here at St. Stephen Mountain View. Please check your mailboxes. You have a couple of items in there. One is a financial report for June, and the other is a little bit thicker. It is the report from the pastoral conference from June, some documents kind of chronicling the joint talks between us, the Wisconsin Synod, and the Evangelical Lutheran Synod, the Wells and ELS. What you have in that packet is the joint statement that was discussed and agreed upon between the three committees that our church body sent, their church body sent, and then the pastoral conference has reviewed it and has given their report. Please take a look at it and read through it. It's a little bit lengthy, but pretty brief for something that pastors put together. So I say that with all sincerity. I was like, oh, it's only like 8 pages or 6. But take a look at it, review it, and if you have any questions or want to discuss it further, please speak with me. Any other announcements for this morning? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.